Hello and welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review, and we're recording from the studio of WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. And this episode is brought to you by ZocDoc. I'll tell you more about that in just a few minutes. Our guest is Alexandra DeSantis, co-author with Ryan T. Anderson of Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. Zan, welcome to The Bookmonger.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to be joining.
We are having this conversation before the release of the Dobbs decision on abortion from the Supreme Court, but that's okay because your book is about much more than court cases, isn't it?
It is, yes, and we wrote it intentionally. Obviously, we didn't know when we were writing it how the court was going to decide, so we didn't really gear it towards any particular outcome. Our idea of the book is just to provide kind of a roadmap to a pro-life future. You know, it's for hopefully for even for people who disagree with us, but mainly it's targeted at pro-lifers, and we want to help them kind of make the best case against abortion going forward.
The book has seven chapters called Abortion Harms, or at least each chapter begins that way, Abortion Harms, and then it lists some ways in which it harms people. There's a chapter called Abortion Harms Women and the Family. How is that true?
Well, I think a lot of times the main argument we hear for abortion is women need it, right? There's a kind of a small segment of abortion rights supporters who say, you know, abortion is this great, good, wonderful thing we should celebrate. But most people, I think, kind of acknowledge, okay, maybe this is just this necessary evil or this thing our society kind of needs. It's not that pleasant, but we kind of just need it. And the argument inherent in that, or the kind of underlying idea, is that this is good for women, or women need access to abortion. But in fact, the opposite is true. If we, first of all, believe or we know that abortion kills an innocent human being, that woman's child, that has to be harmful to her too, even just intrinsically, right, to consent to that kind of violence against her own child. And we see that bearing out both at kind of a societal level, the way that women are worse off living in a society where abortion is acceptable or often an expected choice. You know, if women want to succeed in the workplace, sometimes there's this pressure of, well, you know, abortion's available. So if you want to climb the ladder here, why would you be pregnant and stepping away from the workforce to be a mother? That kind of thing. Or even just kind of the psychological and physical harms of abortion, which we get into in great detail. You know, abortion supporters downplay those quite a bit, but women do suffer after abortion, sometimes immediate physical consequences, long-term physical consequences in future pregnancies, and especially kind of mental distress, you know, even, you know, suicidal ideation, depression, anxiety, increased alcohol and drug use. All these things are tied to abortion, especially later in pregnancy.
Pro-lifers are often accused of caring about babies only when they're in the womb and not after their birth. You must hear that a lot. Do you? And how do you respond to it?
I believe it was Helen Alvray and my co-author Ryan Anderson once wrote a piece calling this the lazy slander of the pro-life movement. And that's always stuck with me because I think it's so obviously not true. If you spend 30 seconds to a minute doing any kind of research about the pro-life movement, you know that this isn't true. But it's easy if you want to support abortion or say that abortion's fine. It's very easy to just point the finger back at the other side and try to get away with some kind of smear like this, but it's obviously not the case. If you look at what pro-lifers do, most of what the pro-life movement is up to is not, you know, standing outside the Supreme Court, although we've done a bit of that once a year, especially on the March for Life. But most of it is providing for women in need, right? Women who would otherwise be turning to abortion, giving them what they need, whether that's a pregnancy test, counseling, help navigating the adoption process, help getting things like car seats or diapers or baby clothes. That's what the pro-life movement has been doing for decades now. And unfortunately, it's the other side now, kind of firebombing and breaking windows at places that are trying to do that.
Chapter 7 of Tearing Us Apart is called Abortion Harms Media and Popular Culture. What does that mean?
Yeah, so that's kind of a hodgepodge chapter. We get into a lot of the kind of organs, I guess you could say, of our culture, things like Hollywood, our mainstream media, big corporations. We talk quite a bit about how big business has been getting into the abortion game. And we're just trying to sort of quantify or give some examples of how the pro-abortion mindset has really trickled into and seeped into our culture in a way that affects all of us, right? I mean, a lot of people care about politics, but most people don't pay as much attention to it as we do. And yet their views about abortion are very deeply shaped by the culture we live in. So whether that's Hollywood, one example we give in that chapter is Planned Parenthood has a dedicated employee whose job, her only job, is to kind of liaise with Hollywood and get sort of presentations of abortion, positive presentations of abortion, into films and TV shows, because they know that that's the way that you win hearts and minds over. Or, you know, big business now is coming out and wanting to fund abortion-related travel for employees in states where abortion might be regulated at some point down the line. And we just talk about basically the negative effects of living in this culture and how hard it is to kind of inculcate a pro-life society or a pro-life worldview with these kind of big behemoths against us.
You're listening to The Bookmonger, a production of National Review, and this episode is brought to you by ZocDoc. No one knows what you're looking for in a doctor better than you, and no one's better at giving you the tools to find the perfect doctor than ZocDoc. The people who created ZocDoc found the major pain points in healthcare, all the things that weren't working, and said enough, and they made booking a great doctor surprisingly pain-free. There are some amazing doctors out there, but really the only ones that matter are the ones who actually take your insurance. With ZocDoc, you can focus on doctors who are in-network, putting you on the path to see the doctors who are right for you. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookmonger and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/bookmonger. ZocDoc.com/bookmonger. Zan, you're a young reporter who focuses on the pro-life movement, the issue of abortion, and so on. You could have been a reporter who focused on climate change or defense spending, or you could have been a business reporter. What motivated you to go all in on this topic?
It honestly was never really a conscious decision where one day I just said, this is going to be the thing I write about. I just know that when I got to National Review almost exactly 6 years ago now, I realized, you know, a day or two in, that all my supervisors there were very open and willing to whatever I was interested in. They wanted me to write about what I wanted to write about for the most part, and they gave me a lot of freedom. And I just naturally found myself writing about abortion. One of the first things I covered at National Review after getting to town was the ongoing investigation into Planned Parenthood's illegal profiting, or alleged illegal profiting, from fetal tissue sales from aborted babies. And just the more I paid attention to it, the more I wanted to write, the more I learned, and off I went. And I've always cared about the issue, you know, my whole life. But I would not have predicted it turning into a career like this.
National Review, of course, is full of opinion journalism. But how do you, as a pro-life reporter, balance your personal convictions on this issue with the need to cover the news accurately, including the views and ideas of pro-choicers?
You know, I think the most important thing to keep in mind is that good commentary is basically just good reporting that's kind of bolstered by your analysis or your thoughts. And so when I'm reporting, I try to do the same thing that I do when I'm forming opinions and writing commentary, which is actually find out all the information, right? I can't come to any kind of conclusion or share my opinions about something until I know what's true, until I know all the facts, until I've given each side its due and understood its best arguments. So when I'm reporting, I mean, I think people know, obviously, where I stand on this issue, but if I'm trying to write a piece of straight reporting, my goal is always to give both sides their due, to find out as much accurate information as I can and share it with readers and allow them to form their own conclusion.
What's the best argument pro-choicers give?
I've struggled with that question a lot, because I think most often the ones we hear that are kind of loudest in popular culture are very lazy and silly. But if you give them, I think, their very best argument, the idea is that women often suffer, right? Women are left in hard situations. Men abandon women, men mistreat women. And just the kind of bare facts of pregnancy, childbearing, motherhood, that's a difficult reality a lot of the time. That's not something that's always kind of easy, breezy, and wonderful. There are attendant difficulties that go along with that. And so I think pro-lifers have to be willing to acknowledge that that's true, and that kind of the impulse to let women have abortions oftentimes comes from this misguided idea that women actually will be better off, that women kind of suffer and are mistreated in a way that abortion can alleviate.
People argue about abortion all the time. Do you find that people know what they think, or think they know what they think, or do you find people are willing to change their minds on this issue?
I think most people are actually willing to change their minds. Now, it's not the people I tend to talk to or hear from most of the time, at least in my work capacity. But I think kind of the average person honestly hasn't thought about this issue very much, and especially kind of in college or, I think, I'm a bit younger, and so most of my friends obviously are pro-life, but most people who I talk to about this issue who I don't know well, it's just kind of this reflexive, oh, I'm pro-choice because everyone's pro-choice, right? I kind of trust people to do what they want with their lives, and so women should just have the right to choose. It's not about the government. But if you kind of, push into the issue a little bit, people start to think, okay, actually, maybe there's another human being involved here. Maybe, mothers and fathers are actually responsible for their children, for the fact that they brought them into the world. Now, that's not to say everyone I talk to changes their mind, but I do think that the kind of reflexive pro-choice posture is not something that's well considered, at least among most people my age.
The author is Alexandra DeSantis. The book is Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. Zan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of you for listening. If you enjoyed this show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and that helps us keep this show going. Also, check out ZocDoc, the free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookmonger. That's ZocDoc.com/bookmongers. Thanks to all of you for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.